Okay, I see it's already 12 UTC. Maybe we can start. The most important people are already here, joined us. So, hello, happy new year to everyone. That's the first meeting of the year. Oh, no, Martin cannot join yet. Sorry, Patrick sent his apologies. Yes, so Martin will not be on the call today. However, he did submit many valuable comments, so thanks to Martin. So again, happy new year.
Katrina, wait a minute. Yes. Kim, have you started the recording, please?
Recording just started.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the third time then. Happy New Year. Must be a really happy one since this is the third time. I wish you a happy New Year. So, thanks for joining the call today. Yes, we received apologies from Martin, but he won't be with us today. Another thing, I think we haven't informed the group yet, Eduardo from .co, he resigned from our group at the end of the last year, so he won't be with us in future calls. Secretariat, have you removed him from the mailing list?
As far as I know, we haven't, but we will.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, because unfortunately, he has no time to be a part of our group. So, first, we start, as you can see today, we start with our response to the operating standard. So, again, let me remind you to prepare common response, and then we have to ask the ESO Council to do the submission. If we will not be as will not be submitted as part of the comments from GRC or from the entire ESO community, will be submitted by the ESO Council. Unfortunately, we have no time to gather feedback from our smaller communities. As you again maybe remember, the deadline for submitting comments on the public comments to operating standards was initially set to today, 15th January. Luckily, this period has been extended to early February. I forgot the date, but maybe you know, 2nd or something.
February, so in 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah, so we still have two weeks time. Okay, we have 1 week because we have to submit it to the council. This Thursday we have a council call, so I will warn the councillors that
Katrina, you're breaking up. We can't hear you.
I know you can't hear me. I was kicked out of Adobe Connect, or maybe I did kick out myself. Anyhow, I'm back. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we do.
Okay, that's good. So, as I was saying, on Thursday we have a council meeting, so I will warn the councillors. And next week we need to submit it to the council, so the councillors have time to read and adopt or update the edit the comments. So currently we have the plan is today we have to discuss the structure. So we have some general comments on operating standards. They were distributed a week ago. Received some comments from Martin and I think from David too. So that's a general comment on the structure. And then a little bit before the call, Bart circulated a consolidated comment on the actual draft of the operating standard. What we have to decide is how we proceed. So shall we add and submit our comments on the actual text of the operating standards, or we just submit the general comments and see what happens. If there are any comments or questions from here, so I see Bart. Yes, Bart, please, go on.
Thanks, Katrina. In the other document, the original one, this is the detailed version. I'll take you through it afterwards. If you look at this document, the introduction, if you look at the schedule, and that's the main point, it's got general comments and observations. It's got, and it's quotable, the document. It's got the overall comments to the draft operating standards itself. And as the final section, it includes specific comments, and that's the annotation of the draft. And probably to refine your point, Katrina, the question is whether to include these specific comments that have just been shared into this document or not, or you just want to share this document, or you want to just share the detailed version. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments from other participants? No? No comments? So, okay, then we will try to finalize this document and see how... Again, distribute it to the list and see if there are any other final comments on the draft. Then it's ready to be submitted to the CTSO Council. Also this annotated draft. So if there are no comments, specific wishes or suggestions with respect to our comments to the operating standards, So if not, then we can go through the entire document, perhaps, and see if you have any comments on this document. So, any comments on introduction or general comments talking on the reviews? And this is trying to say that there are so many reviews going on at the same time, and it's really difficult to get enough people and enough concentration to dedicate to each of the reviews. Any comments on that? No? Yes, here we what to do, our proposal about the operating standard and current reviews. You know there are problems with SSR 2, ATRT 3 technically it started because there was a call for volunteers and CTSO is the only SO that has appointed members. Oh, to be precise, one member, the only one who asked for our endorsement. Others haven't appointed, at least I haven't heard movements in that respect. However, RDS, who is to review, is moving forward quite smoothly. They all almost agreed. They already agreed on the terms of the reference document. So probably we should not pause that review. We should move forward as currently there are no issues around that review. But SSR2 enforced, ATRT3 also naturally not moving forward. So our proposal here is that perhaps we should have operating standards in place before any move forward with SSR2 ATRT3. Not sure it would work again with SSR2 because it wouldn't be good to pause it for too long. So this is a slightly questionable proposal that we're having here, but it definitely would be great to have operating standards in place, but again, we have to see how it all moves forward. We have to probably deal with each case separately. Then overall comments, we have we talk about risks, and I thought that perhaps nobody did make any risk assessment before this exercise, let's say. That's why we are where we are, perhaps. At the same time, probably nobody would ever be able to foresee the issues that we have to face here. And then the structure of the document. Any comments on that? No. And then at the end, scope of applicability of swap operating standards, how to change operating standards, and alternative approaches. So, and then we add annotated draft. So if there are no comments on this document, then let's proceed as we agreed. Nobody objected. So we finalize the comments, send again to the list, final call for edits, suggestions, and so on, and then probably we'll send the draft to the council as soon as possible. Okay, if there are no more no comments on this one, then let's move to next agenda item. It's discussion on rejection action petition procedure. Here I must tell you that we were working on this Google doc, but it turned out that Stephen, who is our leader on this effort, He downloaded the document and added many changes to it offline. So today I tried to try to add all his changes to the Google Doc. I'm very close the end of the document, but I didn't finish it. So more than half of the comments are already there, and I can tell you that some of the most important that we have Stephen proposes to change the name of the Rejection Action Manager to Rejection Action Petition Manager. I think it's a very logical change, a very logical suggestion. If there are any other comments, I see Stephen has his hand up. Yes, Stephen, please, the floor is yours.
Hi there. Happy New Year, everyone. My bad for downloading, but I had an extended period of being offline over the holidays, which was kind of the impetus behind that. In any event, what I endeavor to do with my work on this document over the holiday period was to tighten up the consistency of the language and to incorporate Martin Boyle's comments, take them to heart and incorporate them into the document which led me to do a fair amount of referencing to specific bylaw citations in footnotes. And one of the other things I did at Per Martin's suggestion in his commentary was set up a deputy rejection petition manager to both provide workload relief for the sole rejection petition manager that had been proposed in the previous draft. And I also flushed out the glossary. And last but not least, I think in terms of significant changes, I fiddled with the term of appointment of the rejection action petition manager and the new deputy rejection action petition manager and moved their appointment cycle from the first meeting of the calendar year, first ICANN public meeting of the calendar year, to the third meeting of the calendar year. And I did that because it's likely that high season for rejection action petitions will be in the first quarter and second quarter of a calendar year, because that's the run-up to the public, that's the publication of the ICANN budget and PTI budgets, followed by their adoption in the run-up to the end of June of a calendar year, which is when the ICANN fiscal year begins, July 1 of each year. And I thought we would be putting ourselves at a big disadvantage if we had our rejection action petition manager leave in the middle of the rejection action petition season, shall I say. So that's the highlight of where I stand with this. And I have not gone through Katrina's changes that are numerous from this morning, but I'll take a look at it later in the day. And over the next couple of days, whatever she doesn't incorporate into the Google Doc, I will incorporate into the Google Doc, and I promise I'll be better in the future with regards to using Google Docs. So that's my comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen. I tried to incorporate the changes. I hope I did a good job comparing to documents. Some things that I did notice. So you introduced this deputy. But the thing is that now we have rejection action petition manager, the deputy rejection action petition manager. And I totally agree we need a deputy. And then we have this committee that has two more counselors. So which basically means that we have, and all these four people, they decide, they review petitions. So I think we could make it a bit easier. So we have rejection action petition manager, and then we have a committee consisting of rejection action petition manager and two additional counselors that could be the deputy. But one of those could be deputy. So in that case, we could have three people and not four people. I'm really worried that we have too many people involved. It's an even number. If they do the voting and the votes split two and two, they might be stuck. So I think probably we could go with still three people on the committee and one of them this deputy, or maybe even both could be deputies. I see Stephen kind of suspect that the old one, maybe it's a new one, but Bart can definitely is a new one. Bart?
Thank you, Katrina. So my suggestion would be to, as you said, appoint an alternate from the committee, and in addition, maybe change the timelines in the sense of, say, these members or these the rejection action petition manager will be a councillor, and the other two people will be councillors as well, and that they are appointed for a 2 years period, depending on the term of their appointments on the council, and then at a alternate pace, so have the foreseen rejection action petition manager, so that's the chair of this committee, appointed for a 2 years period, and then the others for 1 year or for 2 years as well, but then staggered. So in that way, you ensure the continuity and the almost the build-up of knowledge within this committee.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bart. I even though I understand sympathize with Stephen's reasoning why he believes that these appointments should be made in the last meeting of the year. Personally, I'm really in favor of appointing them in the first meeting of the year when we do appoint all people. Then we can more easily see the workload and distribute the workload. So if there are any way, if there's any way we could make this easier, and to make sure that we have this continuity, it would be really great. Stephen, your hand is up.
Good morning. Yeah, I agree with Bart on the idea of staggering the terms so that there is overlap and continuity there. With regards to the appointment at the first rather than the third meeting of the year, I, as I stated previously, have concerns about doing that because of the seasonal nature of rejection action petitions as I see it, both from perspective of writing this guideline and also from my perspective with my ECA hat on. Knowing when that cycle heats up, and it heats up in the January to April-May timeframe, and if we're bringing in fresh blood in that rejection action petition manager role, or even worse, switching horses in the middle of that rejection action petition high season, I think we're going to be putting ourselves at a big disadvantage. So I think we really should consider the third meeting appointment cycle with the staggered terms, as Bart suggested. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. But if we have this staggered appointment, then we shouldn't be worried about high or low seasons. Well, I think that's exactly what addresses the issue. Even if we change the rejection action petition manager and appoint somebody who was on the rejection action petition committee earlier, they can still carry out the work. So I think it's these risks that you mentioned can be addressed by ensuring that we have these staggered appointments. They still can do the job. Stephen?
I agree that the staggering appointments will lessen the impact, but let me reserve judgment and think about it a little further on that. Thank you.
Ah, Katrina lost connection again, I see. Stephen, did you have any additional. She has a blue screen. Stephen, did you have any additional comments? Major.
Not really. No, I other than I just had a tooth fall out. Welcome to the start of my day.
And that on a public holiday.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Filling fell out. Joy, joy. No, I have no further comment on that. Yeah, my day just got off to a great start. What can I say? I'll go ahead and put the, I can easily copy-paste the glossary into the work that Katrina's done to date. And I'll go through what she's done and tidy that up with my version, my offline version, and try to get that done over the next couple of days. But I'll be traveling today, so I won't be able to get to it until tomorrow at the earliest. And it'll probably take me about 3 days to do it.
Yeah, and what we still need to do, and that's another thing, we haven't, or the group hasn't decided upon it yet, say, you got this, initially you, or let's reconfirm it, put it this way. Initially, Stephen, you introduced this whole, and I know Katrina is in favor of it, this matrix of roles and responsibilities. And we discussed it, especially with this particular guideline. It will become a very complicated matrix in the sense of that it might not be readable anymore. And so we divided parts of it. And let me see if it's still included. I know... In one of the documents that we worked upon, we split it per section. Is this still a helpful approach of dividing this role and responsibility matrix in the, say, per section and maybe even consolidated at the end? Kim, can you scroll to one of the, I think it's in section three, three or something. Let's scroll down a little bit more, a little bit further down, a little bit further down. You will see a table.
There you go.
There you are. Okay, because so you got there. So this captures the basic idea. Do you all think this is still a helpful approach? So as in, say that should be included in the next version as well. And I can take that on, Stephen, so you don't have to do it. Any common suggestions? Katrina, are you back?
Yeah, Bart, I think it's really helpful to do this at a per-section level. We still have in place, and I expect to retain in place, the reorg / simplification that you did of the initial draft.
That's this version.
And probably to summarize all these, to get this matrix unified at the end of the document in a separate reference section is probably not a bad idea. But
yeah,
I think having it in each section as we've done to date makes a lot of sense.
Okay, then say I just want to confirm to ensure that we put in our work at the right topic. Katrina, are you back?
Yes, I am. My computer crashed with blue screen. I haven't seen one for ages, and I just was there. Yeah, I didn't know they still do these blue screen things. So really shockingly blue. No idea why it crashed. hope that my SSD disk is not going to die. Okay, so I see that you came to an agreement and did some useful discussions.
More in respect of where, say, that in the next version, once every, say, you and Stephen are done, that I'll build on, say, section something like the matrix in section 3-4, and start including it per section, per additional or per section. So by, say, within a reasonable time, we have this overview as well.
Okay, that's excellent. So when can we expect ICON budget or anything that will trigger this redaction action petition period?
This is Bart again. What I've informed Giovanni, that what I've heard this week, the public comment on fiscal year 18 budget will open. Effectively, it means that people who are potentially, the discussions will close around the, and public forum will close around the ICANN 61 and maybe a little bit later. And if people have submitted comments on the budget and or five-year operational plan update, then they are eligible for rejection action. So my guess is by ICANN 61, the council will need to have something in place to allow for rejection action petitions. Whether this will be the guideline, which will be the preferable route, is one. But at least something based on this guideline. So, because it still needs to go through public comments from the community, the CCTLD community. It still needs to be explained to the CCTLD community. But at least you got guidance from this draft, which will shape the rejection action if it push comes to shove. And we will not be able to meet the deadline. But say, my advice would be that the GSE works towards having this done by early February, and then share it with the community, or maybe not even share first, explain it either at the meeting itself in ICANN 61, but that's too late, or maybe even do a webinar. And then ask for comments, and then target for council comments and approval around ICANN 61.
Okay, at ICANN 61, that's the one in Puerto Rico. We have to appoint these roles of councilors. So it would be excellent time to appoint the rejection action petition manager. Which means that by that time we need to have this guideline approved and by both council and the community. It means at least minus 7 days, at least again minus 7 days for the council. Yeah, so I suspect we should... I think we have to, the council has to approve the guidelines not later than the second part of February.
Yes.
So, I think that early February we need to send it for public comment. And, I agree that's a good idea to have webinars. So I see two hands up. Which one is new one and which one is old one?
Both are new. Stephen was first.
Okay, Stephen.
I agree with Bart's interpretation with respect to the probable timeline. I just want to remind everyone that a rejection action petition cannot be submitted unless it's based on a public comment And historically, the way ICANN public comment periods have worked is that nobody says anything until 10 minutes before the deadline, and then you get a bunch. So we won't really know whether we're going to even have any potential for rejection action petition until the tail end of the public comment period on the budget and so on and so forth. I agree, Katrina, with the timeline you outlined with regards to getting this thing wrapped up and approved by council and out for community review. If we could get this before council at a February meeting, that would be ideal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Katrina and say Stephen, I think it's I understand the need to appoint the rejection action petition manager. At the same time, say and Stephen, I think the SOP will submit a comment, and that's the most likely group to organize a rejection action petition as well. But that's my personal view. The if you look at it, say the council, if it could, I think more realistically, if the council could adopt this at its meeting in ICANN 61, that is more realistic. If you want to include a comment period, a reasonable comment period for the community as well, the February meeting is scheduled, I believe, around the 15th or 16th of February. That means, effectively, you've got 14 days to wrap this up by the GSE, send it around to the community and to council for comments, and then decide upon it. So that reduces the comment period unrealistically. So if you would target for the council meeting in at ICANN 61, so in Puerto Rico, so that's early March, then it's that you're in a more realistic time frame. And Katrina, to your point, what you always could do is, knowing this is upcoming, nothing would prevent council to conditionally appoint a group to assist it in its work. It's a potential role identified, and upon approval, conditionally appoint already this council group. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bart. Now, any other comments? Questions? Suggestions? No. I think we have to move really quickly, and we do need to inform the community, and I think perhaps at least two webinars would be really great to have and try to explain this to the community, which is not going to be easy, because it's really a very complicated thing, to put it mildly. Okay, thank you. Can we close this part of the meeting now and move forward? Okay, I see no objections. So next one is CIFMES organizational review. We have overview of the upcoming steps and timing. This is something that we also need to discuss with the council this week. Apparently, we need to appoint this working party that we'll have to deal with this. But nevertheless, the GRC is very much involved in all this, because we are the ones who know the framework, the framework of guidelines and rules that we put ourselves into. So this is something that we need to do, and we have to be heavily involved in. So yes, now we have this we have a review, recommendations from the previous review, and those recommendations were reviewed at the time. There were suggestions in which recommendations should be approved, which we are not so important. So here we have some self-assessment table prepared by Bart. Bart, would you like to walk us through this document?
Yes, thank you, Katrina. The document is scrollable. Let me the GSE did at the meeting in Abu Dhabi, we walked through it in the sense of it wasn't completed, but at least the structure was explained. Let me briefly recap what we discussed. Is the original is a overview by the board, so that's up till the Commons 2013 column, I think that's called, yeah, the column. That was included in the original board document. What I've added is the status by 2017 and potential actions needed in fiscal year 2018 to check, to update. If you look at the status 2017 and the original recommendations, you can already see, say, some of the work done by the GSE. For example, item recommendation 1, it was updated in 2016, so that's a decision guideline with respect to the response and statements mechanism. And I could even include a reference to the newly updated version. Translation of key documents was also a recommendation. Again, there was a survey at the time, and assumption is this: the results of the survey are still relevant. Therefore, action, say, recommendation 2 and 3. New services, evolution, CCSO-related services, by definition, through the members' requirements and needs. An example of this is probably TLD Ops. And the services provided through TLD Ops, which is probably very important to the community, so that's in the realm of security and stability. Attract crack operated CCTLDs in the CCNZO. No further action, say there was an introduction schedule, maybe repeat it again. That could be a suggestion. I think the one at the Prague meeting was informal. I can delve it up, but that's up to you. Collect input registrars, no action needed, and probably no change there as well. You can read it. It's been shared with you. And this is what I've done with respect to the, and this is a self-assessment based on the work of the GSE, which could be used as a basis for the next CCNSO review. That's all I had to say about it, Katrina. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bart. I think it's pretty clear. Any questions, any comments? Nope. Okay, and let's move forward with it. We'll see what the council decides this Thursday. We just need to provide more information to the to our reviewers. So this is this document. Be submitted to the council, so the council also see what's going on. Okay. So, if no more questions about this one. No. Okay. Let's move forward to agenda item number 5, which is AOB. So, Yeah, just an additional question. Maybe somebody from the GRC would like to be on the working party, the international working party that will work with our reviewers. Anyone? Okay, this is something to think about. Definitely you're welcome. Maybe we can even have all GRC working, serve as a working part of it. Okay, so any other business? No? No other business? Okay. Next meeting in 2 weeks, which is... January 29. Yeah, 29, according to my calendar, 29, and hopefully you can join. We have a lot of things on our table to work on, so let's not waste any more time and actively work this year so that we could again have a long list of well-done things to show at the end of the year. Okay, so if no more comments, no more suggestions from the group, let me thank you again for being on the call, for your hard work, and see you around online, offline, and anywhere on the internet and in this world. So thanks a lot. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.